the challenge, and she was ready to give up. You know, life is hard sometimes. We do have struggles from time to time. David in class talked about the conversation he and I had this past week, and I was blessed, and David and I talked nearly all my way back home, for the most part, off and on, coming home from Wisconsin, Indiana, up in that area. And I was blessed. I started with a phone call from a person on the way up there who had heard something at the church and had some questions, and we had a conversation, and it led to talking about beliefs in denominations versus what the Bible says, and I was able to say a few things to that person, especially when I talked to them in person, that got their mind to thinking, and they're interested in having a Bible study now. One of the things she brought up was a challenge that faces her today, or faces all people today, with doubt and wondering if we're doing what we should do. And the thing that I told her that stirred her thought was this. I said, you know, my fear is this. One of my biggest fears is this, that the amount of people that's living their life and believe or think that they're saved. And they're not. Now, I'm not judging. I'm not. I'm not implying that I think that I'm saved and you're not. And I'm not going around pointing fingers, because it's like Brother David said last week. He's thankful that we don't judge him, and that he don't have the responsibility of judging us, because God's going to judge. But my point was clear to this person, at least, I think, that people are living life with false hope or false knowledge, and that they've heard from someone, and they've been taught that maybe that all you have to do is this, this, and this, and once we accept Jesus, that we were saved and we're always saved. And it doesn't matter how we live, it doesn't matter what we do, as long as we're there. And I said, that's one of the scariest things to me, is that people are living their life thinking they're okay. Because what a shock, what a surprise, what an awful, a sad day. That's the song. A great day coming. What a sad day that's going to be for so many one day that never took the time to read the scripture. And their whole life has been based off what someone told them versus what the Bible says. Got up one morning in the motel room in Woodstock, Illinois, and I was a little early, and frost was all over the truck. I went out and I turned the truck on, turned the defroster on. Reason turned the windshield wipers on, you know my windshield wipers is wore out. And I never think about it until it's raining. So I was early from where I needed to go, so there was a auto store across the road, O'Reilly's actually what it was, across the road from where I was at. So I go over there, I was going to get some windshield wipers. I go in, you know, my voice is hard to figure out where I'm from. They don't know whether I'm from Chicago or down south. And the guy asked me, he said, where are you from? I said, Tennessee. He said, what kind of truck you got? I told him, so he started looking. He said, well, what part of Texas are you from? I said, I'm not from Texas at all. I'm Tennessee. Well, it started a conversation. Come to find out, he was at Fort Campbell and I was at Fort Bragg. We were both airborne. We had a brotherhood, a connection there, and we had a good conversation. Come to find out, that man was carrying a very heavy load in his life. We talked for about 45 minutes. He was about my age. We both served in the Army. We both jumped out of perfectly good airplanes, and we both been married about the same amount of time, and his wife told him on their 32nd anniversary that she wanted a divorce. And he was just all to pieces. The last day I was there, I was in Indiana, I went to see a man. I called on a customer, and I walked in, and it was a younger person, younger than me. He was probably in his 30s. And never know what someone's carrying, Dave and I talk about. I said, "I'm proud you met with me today." He said, "Well, I had to do it this morning because I got to carry my wife to the doctor this afternoon." He said, "We're going to have an ultrasound. We're supposed to find out what her baby's going to be." I said, "Well, congratulations." I said, "Is that your first child?" And this is what caught my eye, and I told Keith and David, and I don't know if I told any of the rest of you or not, but what caught me was this. He said, "Yeah, no." He said, "We had a daughter. She lived 8 months." And he went to crying, and he said that her 8 months on this earth was very painful. She suffered for 8 months. By then, we were both crying. He said, "Life is so hard," he said, "because it's not a day that goes by I don't think about it." He called her name. "I don't think about her." And we talked for over an hour together then. A young woman went to her grandmother and said this: "Life is hard. I'm tired of struggling. And I want to give up." These stories I just told you happened. I saw them. I witnessed them. I talked to these people this last week. And we could go around the room this morning. It's not unique to me by no means. We all have talked to people this week, and we all have struggles. But there are people that are struggling every day of their life. So my question to you this morning for a very short lesson is this: are you a carrot . Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? Some of y'all remember my sermon I preached several years ago about taters. Something about vegetables. I like to talk about them. I know egg's not a vegetable. Well, a bean ain't either, but a carrot is. I like talking about food. Think about it for just a minute. Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? Because it ties so well with struggles in life. It ties, hopefully, with what I talked about this morning. And because we can relate to these people. We can. We can relate to someone who's getting a divorce and they don't want a divorce and they're trying to hold on to a marriage and the marriage is being destroyed no matter how much they want to stay married, that they're not. And we can all relate to losing someone that we love. And as I looked in that man's eyes and as he cried about his child, his fear was that the newborn, is it going to be okay? And you can imagine the anxiety he's living in, waiting to see if this child is going to be okay when it's born. And that's what we talked about, and that's what we prayed about. So we can relate to those things. Well, the young woman that went to her grandmother said those things to her, and her grandmother said this: "Come in the kitchen with me." So they walked in the kitchen, and she laid out a carrot, she laid out an egg, and she laid out some coffee beans, and she got 3 pots of water. She put a carrot in one, she put an egg in one, and she put a coffee bean in one, and she put them all on the stove, and they started to boil. She let them get real hot, and they started to boil, and let them boil for about, I don't know how long they're supposed to boil. Let's say 15 minutes. I don't know what an egg does after 15 minutes, but however long it takes to boil an egg. She let them boil all the same amount of time. She took them off the stove and put them all in their own little bowl. And the young woman stood there and said, "Grandmother, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're doing." So the grandmother took the carrot and said the carrot went in hard. It was firm before it went into the boiling water. And we can relate to that carrot in our life, because there are times that we're strong ourselves and we know that we can stand firm. But when adversity comes our way, when the heat, let's call it that, the heat of life, the troubles of life, when it's pounded on us, and have you ever seen boiling water just starts rolling, and when life starts coming at you like that? The carrot turns soft and mushy. Because of the trials that the carrot had because of the boiling water, it caved in. It wasn't strong. So maybe this morning I'm a carrot. Because when the temptations of life, when the trials of life gets all around me, I soften up. And I'm not the Christian I ought to be. But then they move over to the egg, and she said, "Grandmother, I don't understand. What about the egg?" Well, she said the egg went in and it was soft. It went through the same thing the carrot went through. But because of the temptations, because of the trials that we have in our life, do we end up like the egg when it come out? It's hard. Not just hard, but the inside gets hard. And our old heart sometimes get hardened because of Satan and because of troubles that we have in life. And are we the egg that after we go through the boils and the temptations and the hard times of life, that we end up like the egg and it's hard? Maybe I'm here today with a heart that's so hard today that I won't allow Jesus in because I feel like I'm being mistreated in this life. Because I feel like I get all the bad breaks. Nick's got it great. Tim don't. Why can't I be like Nick? My health is failing me. You know, this last week, these two things don't go together, but we may say that our health is failing us. But this last week, I was up in Illinois, and I drove, I think, 1,800 miles this last week. And one morning, I thought of Keith when I woke up because I couldn't get out of bed. Oh, my back was killing me. I called Keith after I finally got to the truck that day. But you know how I got out of bed? After I hollered for a while and realized Wendy wasn't there. I rolled over, got on all fours in the bed, and pushed myself backwards till my knees fell off the edge of the bed. And when I got off the edge of the bed, how Neil used to do it, right, Keith? Neil Penny. Keith's mother used to make fun of me or talk to me some, and told me one time I was getting up off the ground out of her house. She said, "That's how Neil Penny used to do it." And she brought me a jar full of sweet tea out there, and I was hot, and I turned it up, and I killed that thing. She said, "That's how Neil used to do it." But I got down on all fours, had to push myself up off the floor, and I stood there on my tiptoes for the longest, not wanting to move. Something about age. You can't do what you used to do. But it may be that our health is failing us, and we don't understand it. And we get hard on the inside. But then you come to the coffee. And the young woman looked at her grandmother and said, "Okay, I understand the carrot. I understand the egg. But what about the beans here?" She said, "You fell to the carrot, it's soft. You fell to the egg, and it's hard. Drink this water here." She drank the water, and it was such a fine flavor. Now, I don't like coffee. But the other day, I was early to a meeting, and I drank 4 cups of coffee, killing time. And you know, it's pretty good. You put enough sugar in there, it really ain't that bad. But she drank that water and she said, "You know, that's a fine flavor." Are you a carrot this morning before we sang this invitation song, are you a carrot? And the life, the trials that you've had soften you up. You used to stand firm with God. You used to stand firm in the truth. And because of temptations and trials, you're not what you should be. Are you a person today that allowed Satan to harden your heart? Or are you like the coffee? You see, all three went through the same thing. But the coffee changed its surroundings. Instead of the coffee being soft or hard, that boiling water, the trials, the tribulations of life, the coffee changed the water. Every one of us can be coffee. Every one of us goes through trials, temptations, heartache. Days you don't want to get up. Days you don't want to go on. But we can change all that. I can make a difference in Nick's life. Nick can make a difference in my life. I guess I never considered my journey with God. As closely as I have lately was the battle I faced every day. In February of 2010, when I received the news that I had 4 to 6 months to live, that hit me and my family pretty hard. Follow me. I know you've all read this. And I know some of you know what I'm thinking about. But on our way home, Mom and Dad called our family, and we had them meet us at the church building at Trinity. I wanted to tell them all at once and get it out of the way and not relive it every day. How many times do we relive our troubles every day? We keep bringing them back with us every day. And we carry them with us. Is it going to make you a carrot or an egg, one or two? It's not going to make you a coffee bean. It's going to make you a carrot or an egg. But he said, I didn't want to relive it every day. He said, it was a very emotional time for all of us. But I was thankful to get that behind me because it upset me to see other people upset. Bringing other people down because of wrong news. That's not being a coffee bean. No. Mom and Dad and Daniel and I went home that evening and we finished our night talking about death and heaven and what the Bible says about our final journey. We finished the night with a long prayer with the four of us asking God to be with all of us every day that we have together. I'll say it because it was my son. He was a coffee bean. His daddy's not. Now, he was a coffee bean. The Bible says, if we suffer as a Christian, it's not this thing. But let us glorify God on that time. That we were able to endure. That we was able to stand because we was able to show our faith in God and our love in God and our commitment to God. I told the man I met up north, I said, who had the fellow stuff? And I told him I wasn't worried about his height.
And if you remember, you got a man in Tennessee, Frank. In your family. I said, son, I know that you hurt. And I told him about Jay. I gave him one of Jay's books. And at that moment, when I got in trouble, I realized that this son was a son 6 years ago that got down. I never forgotten that time. But I didn't realize it was a son. We just cared. This congregation here has an opportunity once again to make a difference in people's lives. I don't know, and this is a whole other sermon here, and I should have done it anyway. It's a whole other lesson. Charge the same to take on a dead person. We have an opportunity here. I don't know what preacher is going to come with. I'll give y'all my opinion right now for everybody. It doesn't matter. I can take either one of them and argue the point. There's pros and cons of both sides. But it doesn't matter who we get. If we're not coffee beans or fellas, that preacher's not going to make us anything that we're not going to be ourselves. And we've got to have unity, and we've got to have love, and we've got to be people that changes the water around us. David and I made a commitment. Can I tell that? David and Brian and myself made a commitment to each other. Yes, David, David, for you. So we're going to do our very best to take every opportunity that we have to evangelize and share the gospel. That we're going to be committed, we didn't use this phrase, but we're going to be committed to change the water. Even the days that things are going fine. That's a big challenge. So the sacrifice is, let's be prepared. Every one of us, no matter who stands in that pulpit. But this congregation will be full of faith. But this congregation will be full of love. Caring for one another. We know that we all carry a heavy load. Keith and I talked about this yesterday. You never know what someone's carrying. You never know what they're carrying. Because Jacob might be able to smile and not let you know that he's hurt. And he's carrying a heavy load with him, but he's grinning the whole time. And Nick may not be able to carry it, and he may be crying. You don't know what someone's doing. But we didn't know that we can love one another. One final word I want to share with you, and I'll close. Paul said this, and I was going to read verse 2, but you've got to read verse 1 to understand verse 2, so here you go. In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen to the verse. And be not conformed. That means don't have the same thought. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that means change, by the renewing, Jesus and I talked about that, making new spiritual your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My point being, before we stand and sing, it doesn't matter what you've done, you can change. If you're a carrot, you can become a child of God. If you're an egg, you can become a child of God. You can change. We don't have to keep going through life miserable. We don't have to keep going through life making excuses why we don't do what we know we ought to do. We can, every one of us this morning, every one of us can change. doesn't matter what it is. Because you're sitting there now, you're listening to me, and you may be saying, Tim, you don't have no idea. It doesn't matter if I got an idea or not. God has an idea. God knows. And he knows this. I was talking to this person the other day about, y'all should let me preach more often, it won't be near as long. I was talking to a woman the other day, and we were talking about what saved, always saved, and we were talking about salvation, and we were talking about all this, that, and the other. And she didn't understand the difference between committing a sin and living in sin. And we went down that road, and I said, look, we're all going to sin. I said, and I hate to even say that, but I feel like we're using it for a crutch sometimes, until we say none of us is perfect, well, we're not. But I said, if Tim could live a perfect life, Jesus should have died. He should have died. If I have the capability of living perfect, then Jesus didn't have to die, but I wasn't. I can't. I cannot do it. The challenge is that we recognize that we can change. God knows. He knew, David, that you couldn't. That's why Jesus died. If we could, he didn't have to. So the fear that we have in making the change, the fear that we have of coming forward saying, I'm not perfect, God already knows you're not perfect. He already knows what you do, Charles. He already knows where your heart is. He knows. And it's about you and God. And it's about your relationship with God. And it's about recognizing that there's nothing more than important than going to heaven. Nothing. I use some of my sermons sometimes when I'm studying and talking to people. Y'all remember the sermon I preached a long time ago here? One thing worse than going to hell. I won't ask you to tell me what it is, I'll tell you what it is. Carrying the love of me. I used that this last week talking to somebody. Our influence is very, very important. This morning, if you're not a Christian, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This morning, are you willing to turn away from sin? Repent of those sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is Lord, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you can wear Christ's name. You can be on your way to heaven. You can be saved today. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been unfaithful to God, you wonder away, you're a character. Nothing wrong with admitting you're a character. Maybe you're an egg and you're sitting there and I tell you, what am I going to fall? Who is he to tell me that I've got stuff in my life? That old heart's just as hard as that table that's at. Nothing wrong with having a hard heart. Something wrong with people. Because today can be a new beginning for each one of us. Because if we're here not in the right relationship with God, we can leave here today in the right relationship with God. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're not fully God. You're not. You may fool me, you may fool Jacob, and you may fool, but you're not fully God. And the good news is, when all this is all said and done, and we're walking up, however it's going to be, and we're walking up toward God, waiting to be judged, it's not going to be them sitting up there saying, well, you know, now I'm going to judge you. Not going to be me when you're fooling me. It's going to be God when we're not fooling you. You need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning. Hope you come, all the same thing.